Second wave, round four.
Hello and welcome to the Squash Podcast. I am Gavin Duenas and I'm joined this week by James Trepenny. How are you?
I'm okay, though apparently the public impression of me is different. I received a DM yesterday by one of my newer followers on Twitter and said, which said, "Are you all right? Because I'd read your tweets and you seem very upset."
What were you tweeting about?
The UKIP leadership contest, which probably will put anyone in a bad mood.
So did they follow you because of your... because of your wrestling expertise or because of your, you know, political tweets?
Because of my wrestling expertise, and I think they got a bit of a shock.
Okay. there's definitely a crossover. I've definitely got like a very small number of people in, I would say, my Twitter circle who are both political and wrestling-y.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting, I think, how many seem to be on the same page.
It is interesting.
I kind of assume wrestling fans to be of a certain political bent. And I think probably as a whole, the majority probably are. But there's something about WrestleTalk and politics that there's quite a lot of common ground.
I think there is. Maybe we should do a podcast on that someday.
Maybe we should, yeah. But not today. Today we're doing a podcast about the return of World of Sport Wrestling to ITV. Now, I believe it's a one-off two-hour special that they're filming in Manchester. And it's kind of with an eye on possibly bringing wrestling back as a series. The press release from ITV says, amongst other stuff, that it will be a fun-filled afternoon of family sports entertainment. It will feature some of the UK's finest pro wrestlers, including the East End Butcher, Shah Samuels, Dave Mastiff and Viper Kimberly Benson, in front of a live audience across a series of fights from singles to tag team to eliminations, and it will have Jim Ross on commentary. What do you think of that?
I think this is amazing. I think this is brilliant, and I think this is incredible. And I am so, so happy for the British wrestling industry, which has had a long path back to the mainstream and finally seems to be taken seriously by mainstream media entertainment. I was a very sad person in 1988 when wrestling left ITV. So I am incredibly happy that it is back on television. And this is a vindication of us as wrestling commentators, of Alex Shane and WrestleTalk TV, of Brian Dixon promoting for all those years without television, of Progress Wrestling, of RevPro, of all the great British wrestling companies and the great British wrestlers, and most importantly, you, the British wrestling fan that has supported pro wrestling and got us back to this point. I am incredibly happy that this is happening, and I will literally be holding back tears when it's on television again. I mean, we've had pro wrestling on British TV, thanks to the company we work for, Trident Media, through the local television stations. But this is mainstream wrestling using British wrestlers with a British style in a British ring for British television programming. So I am very, very happy indeed.
Is there an element of shame in the press release, or am I reading too much into it, that it sounds a little bit like, yeah, we know it's fake? It'll be a fun-filled afternoon of family sports entertainment. A little bit of, you know, we don't want to appear like we're taking this too seriously because obviously it's just wrestling.
I think there is obviously going to be some of that because these are the people that thought it was lowbrow entertainment and should have been nowhere near a major network television station in the first place. Admittedly, it's not the same people. They're not there now. I think there is, and I think there is. It's not necessary. However, this product can't be like a lot of the other products we see. This can't be Progress, and it can't be ICW, and it can't be RevPro. Those companies are amazing, and they're great, and they are pulling in great numbers. I mean, ICW's subscriber base is nearly as big as TNA's weekly draw in the UK on Challenge. So they are doing wonderful things, but this has to be a mass audience participation. It can't just be for wrestling fans like those companies are, and those companies are built on a core audience. This has to start as the widest possible audience and then draw in a core audience.
I absolutely agree. I think that has to be, I think you almost have to, you know, if I was in charge of this, and I bloody wish I was, then I would make it I would try to appeal to the broadest possible audience and almost introduce wrestling to, on the assumption that the audience has never seen wrestling before. You know, there are so many things that I would like to do from scratch. And I think that one massive advantage I've got, and I don't think it can be underestimated at all, is that the wider public, even if they've only seen a couple of WWE matches or whatever, have a certain expectation of what a wrestling show looks like that I've never seen a British promotion achieve. You know, of the ones that have been on Challenge TV after WrestleTalk, you know, there's some quality wrestling, but the actual production values of it, fully understandably, because this stuff costs thousands and thousands of pounds, but there's a certain element of it looking like an indie wrestling event when you see a British indie wrestling event. I think this, because it's on ITV, I think they should go absolutely... I think that there should be two priorities for them as far as spending their money. Number one is making it look as professional and slick as possible presentation-wise. And number two, I think, should be getting two or three of the best possible wrestlers you can to fit within the show, and we can kind of go more into that in a minute. But I mean, do you agree, as far as production values are concerned, that they need to do something that no British promotion has done since World of Sport was last on TV?
Yes, certainly. To flip that backwards, you look at the big indie companies that have done really well, the ones I mentioned: Progress, ICW, NNGW, and Rev Pro. Their production values are excellent. You know, they're much bigger than the equivalent US companies. You know, I think NGW and ICW shows look way better than Ring of Honor's do, and in some cases better than TNA's do. They can't get up to those WWE production standards because they just need to put too much money into the product to make that work. But ITV have deep pockets because they're making a TV show. It doesn't matter if anyone pays to get there. They're making a TV show for a TV product.
Yes, and I fully believe that this could be... If they do this right and there is a series off the back of it, I think this could be a huge boom period for British wrestling and for wrestling. You know, I think it could be something that could be Saturday night TV that gets millions of viewers.
Yes, I would agree with you.
But I do think there's a specific way they have to do it. And we were kind of talking, we've talked a little bit beforehand about the roster. And of the wrestlers that they've announced, there's a little bit too much for me of a theme of them looking like a parody of 1970s British wrestlers. You know, it's big blokes, you know. And I don't want to, you know, I'm obviously really pleased for these wrestlers that they've got this break. You know, but as far as being on that very, very first show that's introducing wrestling to, you know, potentially an audience that's never seen wrestling, then I don't think that necessarily the look of Mastiff and Samuels and even Grado is what I would go for. You know, I think they could all be valuable players on a roster if it's into a series. But as for that very first impression, for me, I think that it would make it would have much more impact, you know, along with a number of other factors. But for the wrestlers to look like UFC fighters, for them to look like athletes, I wouldn't want them to look like Rob Terry. But at the same time, I think they need to have a certain kind of athletic body type. You know, you don't want anyone who's 6'10" who dwarfs the rest of the roster. You know, if everyone's around 6 foot, even under 6 foot, nobody looks small. But I think they need to look like athletes or fighters or both. And I mean, Mastiff and Samuels look like fighters, but they look like fighters in that kind of old-fashioned idea of what a wrestler looked like in the 70s. And I think that, you know, if you look at the current WWE roster, how many of those wrestlers look like the kind of guy who, if they walked into a bar, you would think, oh, shit, I'd better keep an eye on this guy. You know, he could kick off at any minute. He looks like he could just beat up everyone in the entire place. Brock Lesnar obviously looks like that, but Seth Rollins doesn't. You know, and Kevin Owens, borderline. AJ Styles, I wouldn't say, does. Chris Jericho doesn't. You know, there are too many wrestlers, and I think TNA, you can kind of extend this to as well. There are too many wrestlers around who don't actually look like fighters. And I think that this needs to have a combination of wrestlers who look like they look like athletes, but also they look like they could kick your ass.
I will counter that with my belief that this has to be about characters, and this has to be about compelling characters in the modern age of reality television and X Factor and the things it's competing against. Though I don't necessarily want it to be a reality TV show, I realise that, you know, humanising these characters is really, really important. And after seeing Shah Samuels and Grado on the TNA British Boot Camp a couple of years ago, they got it. They managed to humanize their characters really, really well. And I think that's really helped them in their careers, certainly with Shah Samuels on the UK independent circuit and certainly with Grado in ICW and on Impact Wrestling as well. So I while I don't disagree with you, I would look for some realism towards this. I do think that those characters, especially somebody like Zach Gibson, who is by far and away the most hated man in British wrestling, in a kayfabe way. I'm sure he's a nice bloke.
More than us.
Yeah. Wow. Went to see him wrestle for Progress in Manchester. It was like Satan had walked in the room. Anyway, yeah, so I think that those characters are really the important thing for a British audience at the moment. If you can introduce characters that are going to get over, and you can choose characters that can manipulate that kind of those personality traits, I think that's just as important, if not more so. Not that I don't disagree with you. A sense of realism is what helped the original World of Sport. And if I go back to the reason why I'm a wrestling fan, the reason why I'm a wrestling fan is because of Marty Jones, Dave Finley, and Mark Rollerball Rocco, who not only look like athletes, they could look like they could kill you in a pub fight.
And the personality thing is massively, massively important. You know, I think the focus should be, there has to be that element of competition and the ramifications of match results. You know, it has to be treated like it's a sport, and I think you've got to treat it straight up. And that kind of makes it all the more, it makes the kind of campness of wrestling all the more enjoyable when everyone's playing it straight. You know, and this is what WWE has kind of lost track of in recent years. That, you know, if you spend the whole time saying, oh, it's okay, we know it's fake, and you're poking fun at yourself, it's nowhere near as funny. You know, it's far more enjoyable in a camp way if you're taking it seriously. I also think that the personalities, you're absolutely right. You know, they cannot be, you know, you have to have alpha male personalities. They've got to be larger than life, and they've got to be, you know, not quite cartoonish, but so much bigger than people are used to seeing on, for example, when they're watching reality TV. You know, but they need to come across like they're not just normal people. If I was running this show, no one would talk about any other wrestlers. You know, no one would say, oh, this guy is called something Junior because his favorite wrestler is Rey Mysterio Jr. because I think you've got to present these stars as if they are on the same level as everyone, as anyone who's ever walked in a ring. I also think the wrestling style is very important. I think, you know, this is where Grado, I think, is a little bit of a problem for me, because I think it's a bit too comedic. And, you know, I think if Grado played a straight up kind of, I mean, it's hard to imagine because that is Grado. But, you know, there's a way that Grado can have the personality he's got, but not seem like he's making a mockery of the wrestling match that's going on. And I think, you know, with that wider audience, you know, it's fine. In ICW, it works brilliantly. But with this wider audience, it is a very, very different audience. And it's an audience that, you know, they're getting into it with that, looking through that same lens of, well, is this fake or is this not fake? You know, they're that kind of wet behind the ears as far as wrestling is concerned, and anything you do to say to them, yeah, it's fake, don't worry, you know, I think is damaging. And this is where I would also make sure that there was a wrestling style involved, like you say, a kind of British style where, you know, the gymnastics is kind of kept to a minimum. You know, I wouldn't have ex-WWE wrestlers on it. Yeah, you know, these are the stars of World of Sport wrestling.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm still slightly set back that you don't particularly want Grado on the show, the biggest name in British wrestling for the last 15 years, but that's your lookout.
Well, again, I can't, you know, I would want it to be something where anyone who misses the show is saying that the question they're asking is who won, not how good was the match or how funny was Grado, how entertaining was it, you know. And I think I like Grado. You know, I've talked to Grado, and I hope he has a great career, and I think he could have a role on this show, on this roster, if it turned into a series. But as a first impression, I think you need to treat it a bit more seriously than maybe Grado treats it.
Well, fair enough. And I suppose, you know, if you look at, say, how Lucha Underground has worked, they didn't bring in the big stars to kick off the first show. They introduced their stars, you know, like Prince Puma and Cueno and those guys, and then they brought in Alberto Del Rio, and then they brought in Rey Mysterio Jr. So the new guys had chance to get over first. You know, they basically started with a blank slate. Lots of guys got completely new characters, new masks. And I think this is kind of something that they can borrow from that. You know, if we, maybe we do start at ground zero. This is British wrestling from now on, you know. And I think we'll probably get some naysayers. I've had a couple already saying, well, it won't be from Bolton Town Hall in 1976, will it? And it's like, well, no. And why? And look, I'm a big World of Sports Wrestling fan. It's what I grew up on. The reason why I have this job with WrestleTalk is because I started writing about World of Sports Wrestling 4 years ago. You know, Ben saw my old blog. He saw the other things I wrote. And that's how I got into pro wrestling writing and pro wrestling podcasting. And I can tell you, for all the great matches between Johnny Saint and Steve Gray, there was a lot of dross. And we don't necessarily want that either. We want a good, watchable show that is presentable, that has clear stories that people can get their teeth in, and characters people care about. Because if they don't care about them, why would they watch?
What about the... you talked about the style, the British wrestling style.
Yeah.
What is that?
Like the World of Sports style?
I guess just, you know, if you were very, very broadly describing a British style of wrestling and the style of wrestling you'd like to see on this show, what would it be?
I would like to see it in much... Well, it's difficult because the World of Sports style has kind of been absorbed into everything else. You know, the original basic style of wrestling that was portrayed by Johnny Saint and Vic Faulkner and the Royal Brothers, that technical escapology style, as they call it, it's still there. Zack Sabre Jr. has essentially made a career out of it, and so has Jack Gallagher. You know, it's there, but the best two exponents don't work in the UK anymore very often. Well, Zack Sabre Jr. does now, but yeah, so I think a mix of that old school style built into something that's very sensibly presented, so it can be family orientated. One of the reasons why that old school style works so well, there's two reasons. One, it was flashy, it grabs people's attention. But the other reason why it works so well for the wrestlers was because the majority of them were going back to work on Monday morning. They couldn't take big bumps. They couldn't do the things that their American or Japanese counterparts did because they'd end up in hospital if they did it every night. This was a different type of wrestling for a very different audience. And you can take elements of that and rebroadcast it for a modern audience, as we've seen with Zack Sabre Jr. and Jack Gallagher, like I said. But you can't necessarily build a whole program around that because, you know, it's not going to work like that. It's got to be a mix of all of these characters. And if you look back at the old World of Sports style, a lot of it came from those characters. Leon Harris, Les Kellett, Cat Weasel, though they... Well, certainly Cat Weasel was very character and comedy led based, and there are elements there that, you know, like we said, Grado is probably taken forward and certainly with Les Kellett. But, you know, it's I think that style can be mixed in, the characters can be mixed in, the mat based style, the flashy athletic style, which doesn't involve big bumps and high spots, because then you've got a family friendly product that can really wow people, is safe for the workers, because let's face it, some of these guys are wrestling 5 or 6 nights a week and they need to be safe too.
I mean, I kind of think of the Bret Hart style, kind of snug but safe. No stupid, dangerous moves that, you know, are just unnecessary and are going to make you eventually struggle to get out of bed in the morning. And I think the Bret Hart style is kind of, you know, there's a sort of in a family tree of wrestling styles. There's obviously a link to Dynamite Kid, clearly,
yeah,
and the British style, the World of Sport era style.
He did spend a couple of years in the UK as well. He wrestled for joint promotions. I've actually watched him. The first time I saw Bret Hart was on TV on Saturday afternoon in 1983.
The other week we talked about TNA,
yeah,
and the things they need to do. We are talking about an audience that doesn't need to be untrained. You know, you don't need to, you know, the WWE certainly in the last few years has trained its viewers to expect action all the time and you know, incredible athleticism but quite inconsequential in the, you know, a lot of the high spots don't really go anywhere, a lot of the big bumps aren't really sold, and you know, you don't need to do any of this with a British wrestling show, because you're trying to appeal to that wide audience, and a lot of them are new fans or are certainly fans who are kind of on the periphery and and don't follow it closely. And I think this is where you can really scale it back. You know, you can have, I think, one wrestler on this show who does high spots, and who does two or three high spots in a match, you know, that is otherwise fundamentally sound, can have more impact than every single spot in WWE has in a year.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree with that. I would also like to mention as well, we're going to have female wrestling on British television, which never happened in the old world of sports days because, you know, Crabtree was a sexist and wouldn't have women wrestling on his shows. So we've come a long way as far as women wrestling concerned to even be considered to be on television. So I think that's great. And Viper, former Stardom star, big name on the British independent circuit, she's really, really good. So that's the only female name I've seen. But I'm hoping they sign some other big names as well. That'd be really cool because women's British wrestling at the moment is absolutely belting. Kaylee Ray and Nixon Newell are my picks, my favourite wrestlers of the year so far this year in the UK.
But I hope they don't make a big deal about how, look at this, women.
Yeah.
I hope they just let them wrestle and it's just the women's division and it's treated no differently to the novelty of seeing men wrestle.
Yeah, that's how it should be because they're that good. They're, you know, in my opinion, better than most of the guys. So they need to be showcased properly too.
So we've got a 2-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do? How do they make sure that show becomes a series?
Essentially, it has to work like a pay-per-view, I think. You've got Jim Ross on commentary. If you couldn't find a better guy to do the commentary for this, I don't think. And I'm amazed they managed to get hold of him.
That is a coup, isn't it?
So for a start, you let Jim tell the story. You lay out your 2 hours with, just like a good pay-per-view, a belting opening match which drops jaws and grabs attention. You have ongoing stories that go through the show that keep everything ticking along nicely as far as intrigue is concerned. You make sure that the characters are well showcased and they can tell their story. Backstage vignettes work really, really well. Pre-tape videos. Let's have Shaw Samuels in his butcher's shop. That kind of thing. You know, you need to do that to make you connect and humanize those characters. Okay. Once you've got that far, then you have to have a main event that isn't necessarily a great wrestling match, but is a great spectacle that really has a cliffhanger kind of feel to it that makes you want to come back for more.
See, I think I'm a big fan of tournament. If you've got a new audience and you need to get their attention, I think a tournament is a good way to go. But obviously 2 hours isn't a very long time to have a tournament. So I would have on various shows around the country the knockout matches until you get down to the final four. Mm. And I would make the 2-hour TV show about that final four. And I think this is where the Cruiserweight Classic is a good way, a good kind of style to follow, where they had the build-up to the matches and then the match and then the reflection on the match. And so loads of time is given to each match. I think if you throw out too many personalities on the first show, then you risk people forgetting things. Yeah, I think there's that old Vince Russo saying, I don't even know if he ever said it, but he's accused of saying it, that, you know, his dream wrestling show would be a show with no wrestling in it. You know, and I think that the opposite of that is just as bad. If you just cram 2 hours full of as much wrestling as you possibly can, you know, I think the more build-up there is to the matches and the more reflection there is, the greater context they have. If the tournament is, to, you know, I think they talk about crowning a first World of Sport champion. I think that's what they've said in press releases.
Yeah.
So for me, I would make it that is the tournament. And it is you get the semifinals and the final on that show, you know, along with a couple of other kind of exhibition matches, you know, the women's match and a tag team match. People like tag team matches.
Yeah.
You know, give them a formulaic, exciting tag team match. I mean, for me, I think more important that if you've got all of these crazy personalities, you know, just because you've only got a small number of matches doesn't mean you can't have, you know, doesn't mean you can't have Grado on the show, just not in a match. You know,
talking to
the experts, talking to the presenters, you know, and if you just throw all of these personalities, but then at the core of it, you've got this tournament, these two semifinals and a final. I would go completely traditionally, two babyfaces, two heels, you know, a babyface against a heel in each semi and then a babyface against a heel in a final. And I think for me, possibly the most crucial thing of all, as far as trying to grab the public and making sure that they want to watch more of this is the stars, you know, as it is with, you know, as it's been throughout the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have those stars. And I would almost sketch out the four characters I want in my semifinals and then fill the roles with, you know, whoever you can get to fill those roles. You know, and obviously, you know, if you can get Zack Sabre Jr., then get Zack Sabre Jr. But if, but if you have to go for the next level down, go for the next level down. But I would be, you know, almost like a football manager putting together a team.
Yeah.
You know, you want a specific player for a specific position. I would be looking to get those four specific players who have got big, colourful personalities, the two heels who can play proper heels, and, you know, possibly one high-flying babyface, and then one other babyface who's kind of your lead star, and go that way, rather than just get as many wrestlers as I possibly can and then just put a load of matches out there.
Yeah. So essentially you're saying Zach Gibson and Dave Mastiff as your heels and Liguero and Will Ospreay as your faces.
Will Ospreay would be pretty amazing, wouldn't he? Maybe
he's a bit busy at the minute.
Yeah. But then, I mean, is Ospreay and Liguero, are they a little bit too, are they both a little bit too gymnastic?
Possibly, especially if you want to have room to go up. You know, if they could calm things down for a bit, and then you could do a spectacular spot once a month rather than have to do it, or once every big show rather than doing it every match, you know, because then you've got chance to reset. So let's bring the expectations down so you can build them back up again when you want to.
One person I'd quite like to see involved, I don't know if it would be possible at all, is Nick Aldis, because he's got a great look. He's a really good looking guy, and he's got that. Even if you don't acknowledge it and talk about how he used to be in TNA and he was their world champion, you know, he's got that background that is credible.
Yeah, and he's in the UK at the moment as well.
I think he could be either a babyface or a heel as well. I always think he would be someone who would play the sort of Nick Bockwinkel kind of heel really well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
the champion guy. He uses big words. He acts like a bit of a snob, but actually he takes shortcuts because deep down he's insecure. I think Zack Sabre Jr. could be your other heel. You know, I think he could kind of play that mean and nasty cheating heel, which he showed shades of in the Cruiserweight Classic. I don't follow the British wrestling scene closely at all, because whenever I have watched British wrestling in recent years, I have not seen a lot of storylines of the matches I've watched. And that may purely be the kind of wrestling I've watched. You know, maybe out there are great storytellers. If there are, I think they are far more important to get on this show than the ones who do the amazing, dazzling stuff.
I think that's important. I mean, guys like Jimmy Havoc, certainly, who can tell a story over a long period of time. His storyline in progress took 2 years to play out. So, you know, he's the kind of guy that you want, and doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the hardcore warrior he's famous for. He's a more than capable mat wrestler. He can do this without going violent. So he's the kind of guy you want, really.
Yes. And what about ring intros? Like, I reckon they should be aiming to get proper licensed music.
Yeah.
Actual songs that people actually know.
I think that's really important. I think, though, Grado tried to do it for his TNA debut, and yes, Madonna wouldn't give him the permission to use it, so he has to use a generic one. So, I mean, that's the cost, is like the cost. But then again, they do it for X Factor, and if that's the kind of money they want to put behind this, they're going to have to spend that amount of money. It can be covers of rock songs rather than, you know, actual, like, just generic tape feedback. It could be covers, or you could have a live band doing it. You could do something different with it. In fact, a house band wouldn't be a bad idea.
Well, I quite like the idea of going really over the top with the ring entrances. I mean, obviously it won't look like WrestleMania because there won't be, you know, 80,000 people there.
No.
But I like the WrestleMania level entrances, making the ring entrances a big part of the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a new audience. They don't have that expectation that it will look just like WWE Raw. And even if they do, it wouldn't do any harm to kind of, you know, to give them more than that. Make a massive deal of the ring entrances and, you know, have proper music and, you know, just make a show of it where it's not necessarily just everyone just walking down to the ring. You know, make it have big stuff going on when they make their ring entrance.
I think that was one of the most important things that happened at Wrestle Kingdom 9 when it was first broadcast to an international audience, New Japan Pro Wrestling. You've got this massive ramp down to the ringside at the Tokyo Dome, which gave Jim Ross and Matt Stryker loads of opportunity to talk and explain about these wrestlers and who they are and what they did. You know, it was very successful because you got those characters over in a very much shorter period of time.
I got one more question for you.
Okay, then.
The old British wrestling used to have rounds. Is that correct?
Yes, the Mount Evans rules. 8 5-minute rounds or 10 3-minute rounds for a championship match.
Do you think they should do that just to be different? Or, I mean, does it interrupt the flow?
I think the trouble is, in this day and age where most British companies have adopted catch-as-catch-can rules, you know, the American rule system or the Japanese rule system, it's difficult for and difficult for an audience as well to follow it. I think they've got diseducated to that. The expectation was always there with the round system that they used to have. The Mount Evans system was, it was really good for matches because you didn't just tell one story, you told eight stories. However, I think you would have to re-educate your audience to do that. So as much as I love the old Mount Evans rules, and I would like to see a Mount Evans rules kind of style of promotion somewhere, I don't think it's necessarily great for mainstream promotion at the moment, because there is that underlying language in the culture of pro wrestling is ingrained in the British public enough for them not to understand what's going on. It's been too far removed. We're talking about 25, nearly 30 years ago. There's a whole couple of generations of people have missed out on British wrestling and that old style of British wrestling. Though, as you can see, it's certainly very, very popular and very popular internationally, with guys like Colt Cabana and Chris Hero, who love that style and took it into their type of wrestling. And, you know, British wrestling is some of the best in the world, and you only have to look at the Performance Center with Robbie Brookside and William Regal as two of the top guys there. So it could be done, but you've got to educate an audience to be able to do that.
Is there anything else that you feel like you would really like to see in this in the return of World of Sport?
I can't really think of anything else other than an audience that, yeah, that could be my one worry, is the audience would be too smart, because obviously the audience that's going to go is going to be made up of wrestling fans, are the ones that got their tickets first, and everyone was doing a mad scramble the other day when the tickets became available. If the crowd's too smarky, that might hurt the actual show.
Yeah.
If they play along, you know, I've been to Progress shows this year, and I've been to, you know, shows in London this year as well, BWE, and British wrestling audiences are amazing. You know, they are so impassioned, and they so understand the business. But equally, that smarky reaction that you get from some crowds, certainly like Ring of Honor crowds, it can be a detriment to a product that's trying to filter to a wider audience. We know you're in on the joke. Don't try and get yourself over at the wrestling's expense.
And you hope that if the wrestling is presented straight up, that they will respect that. You know, if you compare it to WWE, it's too easy to be the loudmouth, smart fan in their audience, because you're not afforded the respect, and there's nothing to really... You're almost a fool for investing in it, because they'll only let you down.
Yeah.
You know, where if this is presented, you know, kind of like NXT, you know, it has less of that smarky kind of reaction, because they appreciate what it is and that it does it very well. So, yeah, I would absolutely agree. I hope these fans, you know, fans like you and I who love wrestling and are so pleased to see it back on UK TV screens, that they... you know, they pay it some respect by going along with the story and not trying to hijack it for themselves.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So thank you, ITV, for bringing back my youth, is what I was
going to say. Thank you, ITV. And, you know, they're more than welcome to steal our ideas.
Yeah, please do. You know, checks to a post office box. We'll give you the address. Just email us. PayPal and accounts, it works.
And apologies to anyone who I've said shouldn't work on this show because they look flabby or anything like that. It's not personal, and I respect what you all do, and I very much hope you get a job in the promotion once it's established.
And you can send complaints to @GavinDuenis on Twitter, can you not, sir?
Yes, yes. Complaints are all welcome.
And you can follow me @SheriffLoneStar on Twitter as well. I guess that's been our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. Please listen to the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. We have some great shows on there. True Penny Show this week covered King of Pro Wrestling from New Japan Pro Wrestling. Finn Martin had his fortnightly review show last week. And of course, you can follow up on the Wrestling Histories, which appears on Wrestle Plus, $4.99 a month. A fantastic service with lots of British wrestling, like NGW. Okay, you can follow all the stories there and maybe get a preview of what happens on the ITV's big show. If you want to review us on iTunes, we'd be greatly appreciative. We always like to hear from you. We like reading our YouTube comments as well, and we try and react to as many of them as we possibly can for the podcast, because we want this to be your show as well as our show. So thank you very much for that. Next week, Paul will be back talking about wrestling. And in the meantime, have a great week. Till next week.
WrestlePlus.com is the brand new home of incredible online wrestling content, featuring uncensored shoot interview classics, full series of WrestleTalk TV and British Wrestling Weekly, exclusive documentaries, British wrestling's biggest names before they were stars, an incredible podcast collection, up to 90% off merchandise offers, and the brand new Power Slammed e-magazine forwarded by Finn Martin himself. WrestlePlus has thousands of hours of content with new and exclusive releases added regularly. You can join today for the stupidly low price of just £4.99 a month. WrestlePlus, because this is wrestling.